Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. I'm glad that you are with us today, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. If you are visiting with us today, or if you'd like to update your information and if you've been here before, there is a QR code up on the screen that will lead you to a form where you can get involved and all sorts of things like that. So if that sounds like you, you are welcome to grab that QR code and we will be in touch. And we'll look forward to having you be a part of what we're doing around here. A couple of announcements. The one that I have is just a continued reminder for folks to come to our 7:15 Wednesday Lenten services with Waupun United Methodist. Myself and Pastor Renee, who's the new pastor over at the Methodist Church, and John O'Donovan, the three of us, we don't preach on Wednesday nights, but we have kind of a discussion-based message that kind of feels like you're watching a live podcast if you're a podcast type person. So that is there for you. If you would like to join us, we're trying to get more people to come and join us for that. So please be welcome there. Got another couple of folks who have some announcements.
Good morning. My name is Emma Sperger, and I'm one of this year's confirmation candidates. As you may know, we will be hosting a soup luncheon on Sunday, April 26th, to raise funds to help replace the money that will be used for our recent faith formation retreat. The retreat was a wonderful experience for all of us, and we hope to make it possible for future confirmation candidates to enjoy the same meaningful, faith-fulfilled opportunity. We are currently looking for donations for our silent auction and gift basket raffles. If you'd like to contribute, please see me or Becky Smith after the service. The baskets will be displayed throughout the Sundays in April leading up to the luncheon, and the confirmands will also be selling gift basket raffle tickets each Sunday in April. Thank you for supporting our confirmation class and helping us grow in faith and service.
Thank you, Emma. And Steve, you had an announcement?
I have done some playing with our hearing impaired system, and there are several people who have had challenges with what we've had technology-wise for hearing. And now in two cases, one you can see using the headsets right now, and then 2 weeks ago, a second person tried this. If you're someone who is in any way hearing impaired, and if you're using hearing aids, I strongly recommend that if you have any level of difficulty hearing, go hear with these headsets. And if we have to buy more headsets, I'm happy to do so. The best thing I can say is the person who tried it 2 weeks ago, her face just lit up when she put this on. So if you are in any way hearing challenged, please consider, it's not a vanity issue. It's hearing well what is being said. It works. So. Two cents.
They work well over hearing aid.
Yeah, they go right over top of your hearing aid, which is what he's doing.
Yeah.
So it's made a difference.
Well, thank you, Steve, for doing that work. Steve, if some of you don't know, Steve has decades of experience with soundboards and he was a theater director, and so all of this sort of thing is kind of right in his wheelhouse. So he's really good at this sort of work, and we really give lots of gratitude uh, for for him for working to make our services more accessible to more people. We give great thanks for that, and we hope that more people can take advantage of it if they need it. Any other announcements?
I have a couple. The Waupun Area Animal Shelter Chili Supper is this Tuesday evening from 3:30 to 6. You can eat in or you can carry out, and there is also a silent auction. And then also Easter flower orders are due today by the time we leave, if you can. If not, I'll be here tomorrow morning for any last-minute orders. Thank you.
Thanks, Alana. And Laura Hoekstra has an announcement this morning.
So yeah, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Laura Hoekstra, and my husband Alex and I are new members here at UCC, and I also recently just joined the Missions Committee, and I was asked to share with the congregation this morning the update that I wrote on our Quarter One Mission project. So, last November, when families were at risk of losing SNAP benefits, I reached out to Terry at the food pantry to ask how I might come alongside families who would feel the impact. I had heard of other communities creating grocery buddy programs and wondered if something similar might help here in Waupun. In December, I shared the idea with Heather Vanderkin to see if the Missions Committee would be interested in joining me. When the committee talked about it, the vision grew. Rather than possibly providing grocery support, they discussed preparing high-protein freezer meals and gifting crockpots so that not only would families receive food, but they would also have the tools to prepare it. I reached out to Terry and she loved the idea. Protein is one of the most needed and expensive items, and many of the families she supports also don't have a lot of knowledge about cooking or the tools to do it. Because of your generous financial support and the many hands that helped prepare meals, in February, we were able to serve 8 families, 43 individuals in total, and gift 2 crockpots. Each family received 2 complete meals, chicken teriyaki with vegetables and rice, and beef chimichangas with Spanish rice, salsa, cheese, and sour cream. In addition, the 3 families with the greatest need received the extra meals lovingly prepared by members of the congregation. The response was overwhelming. Families couldn't believe the amount of food they received. Terry asked me to share her heartfelt thanks, and the families say thank you as well. Here are just a few of the families you helped. A husband and wife with a child. The husband recently underwent a leg amputation, is unable to work, and has not yet qualified for disability. They are doing everything they can just to get by. A blended family with 7 children. Groceries for a family of 4 are expensive. It's almost impossible to imagine feeding a family of 9 while living below the poverty line. A grandmother faithfully raising and providing for her 3 grandchildren. And an 18-year-old working 3 jobs, attending high school, and raising his 16-year-old brother who is also still in high school. These meals are more than food. They are relief. They are dignity. They are a reminder that this church cares. Thank you for supporting this mission project so generously and wholeheartedly. We will be preparing our March meals on Sunday, March 22nd from 2 to 4 p.m., and we would love for you to join us. Please sign up in the fellowship hall or let one of us know. If you would like to make a financial contribution to help us purchase groceries for these meals, those donations can be placed in the Quarter One Mission Jar on the table in the back of church or in an offering plate marked Q1. If you would like to provide a meal, let us know. Your hands and your hearts are making a difference. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you so much, Laura, and thank you to the missions committee. As you'll notice, that announcement has a lot to do with our theme for worship this morning. So it's like divine providence that Laura made that announcement today. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And thank you to all who helped with that. Anything else today? Okay, then let us join together in the call to worship. Becca?
Good morning. If you are able, please stand and join me for the call to worship. If you need good news, settle into this space. We have good news to share. If you need a word of hope, then trust us when we say
there is hope enough to go around.
If you need a glimmer of joy,
then you're in luck. We have resilient joy abounding.
If you need to feel God's presence in your midst,
then know that this is God's house.
This is the good news of the gospel.
God is here. Love is real. Joy is on the move.
Let us worship our God. Please join me in the opening prayer. Holy God,
we could press your ear to the page,
hoping to hear you more clearly. We could silence all the alarms and notifications, hoping to catch a murmur of your voice. We could still our beating hearts, and still we might miss your voice. So today we pray, open up our space in our hearts, in our spirits, in our minds, to feel your presence among us. With you, anything is possible. We believe. Help our unbelief. Amen. Our first hymn today is number 544, The Church's One Foundation. We'll sing verse 1, 4, and 5.
Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Do I have any kids with me this morning? I see John. I see Ray. I see Kendallin. Blake's coming. Ashley's coming. Any other brave souls? No? Come on up. Oh, my gosh. You are looking darling today.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see y'all.
Yeah. Wow. Hey. Question for you guys. Got this glass of water here. I haven't even been drinking it, but I just have a question for you. Have you ever been really thirsty? Anybody? When do you get thirsty? You get thirsty?
When it's a hot day.
When it's a hot day?
Yeah.
When else do you get thirsty? You get thirsty out in the fields? Working? Yeah, I just get the nod on that one. All right. Do you get thirsty, Ashley? You too, Ray? How about you, Kendall? Hot summer days, right? When you're working hard? You guys play sports at all? You get thirsty? Yeah. And what do you want when you get thirsty? What?
Water.
Water. Yeah, we want water when we're thirsty.
Or sometimes soda, or sometimes Gatorade.
Juice. But water's the best, okay? We got a glass of water here, okay? When you drink the water, how does your body feel? Anybody? How does your body feel when you drink the water? Anybody? Does it feel better?
Yes,
it does. Water is wonderful. It's actually involved in every single body process. Yeah. Your blood wouldn't flow without water. Your joints wouldn't move without water. Your food doesn't digest without water. Water is in every, your brain doesn't even work without water. Everything in your body uses water. So water is like really, really important. Today in Sunday school, you're going to listen to a story about Jesus and the woman at the well. And he talks about a special kind of water. He says, if we drink the water Jesus gives us, we'll never be thirsty again.
Mm.
Well, that's interesting. So was he talking about just the regular old glass of water? Or was he talking about something else? Something else, John said. Something else. Mm. You're absolutely right. He was talking about something else. There's my notes. Yeah. Jesus gives us living water. And that living water means we are loved, we are forgiven, we belong to God, and He is always with us. So Jesus' living water gives us love, forgives us when we make a sin, or commit a sin. It means we belong to God and that He is always, always with us. That kind of water never runs out, never dries out.
Well, it sounds like a great story for you to be in Sunday school with. So what are you waiting for?
Ah, good job. What are you waiting for? The pun of the day. Did you catch that? What are you waiting for? Okay.
All right, let's pray.
Yes, let's pray.
Before I do any more bad puns, repeat after me. Dear God,
thank you
for the ways that you provide
living water
and hope and love in our lives.
Help
us
do the same
wherever we go. Amen. I knew I'd get some good groans there.
Our call to confession for today. Friends, we are like the disciples. The day that Jesus fed 5,000, his disciples could not imagine a solution to the crowd's hunger. They told Jesus to send the crowds away. We often do the same. Like the disciples, we try to follow Jesus around, but when we run into issues, we often cannot imagine how we could play a part. That is why we need the prayer of confession. For in this prayer, we remember that we can make a difference. So friends, join me in this moment of truth telling. Join me in a prayer. Holy God, with you, the impossible is possible. 5,000 can be fed. The hopeless can find hope. With you, the impossible is possible. But we are quick to forget that. We look at our hurting world and tell ourselves that nothing can be done. We forget that you empowered the disciples to feed the crowd. We forget that you are always with us. Forgive our small-minded ways. Forgive us for doubting that change could ever come. But even more so, forgive us when we refuse to be a part of it. With hope for a better tomorrow, we pray. Words of forgiveness, family of faith, no matter how many mistakes the disciples made, Jesus still washed their feet. Jesus still fed them. Jesus called them beloved. The same is true for you and me. So hear and believe this good news. Today is a new day, and once again, we belong to God. We are forgiven. We are called. We are not alone. What good, good news. Amen. Our first scripture reading of today comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 32 through 44. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. When he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000. Our second reading from today is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we all can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Becca. My friends, will you join me in prayer? God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. So one thing I discovered about this church pretty early, before I even started with you, was the sense that you are a people of possibility. I saw that at work through your search committee in the interviews that I had with them, and I saw that with the many different food assistance programs that you've been providing over the years, and gosh, Laura, thank you so much for that that wonderful wonderful message of hope. It's so wonderful to hear the things that this church is doing. I had seen that also through our progressive theology in a largely conservative area, giving people a safe place to question their faith and remind them that they are loved as they are and cultivate community when so many people in this world have been jaded by our differences. Now, I'm not sure I could have predicted how true that was. Before the political realities in our world continued to get more dire in the last few years, especially over the last 10 years or so, the discourse of the world and the way that we think about each other has become awfully cynical. The disciples in today's text would probably resonate with some of that cynicism because they gave in to the sense of scarcity that I believe that a lot of us probably have done. This idea that there's not enough food, not enough resources, not enough money, and so on. And now, we've heard this story so many times that most of us can probably could probably recount it in our sleep, or could probably recount it almost verbatim if we were asked. But before you say, ugh, do we really have to hear this story again? I see you, Deanne Goodlaxon. I'm picking on her only because she's the one who does it in our media planning meetings. before we do that, I'm going to say, not only yes we do, but also because this is a story that shows the understanding of what Jesus's ministry is about, perhaps more than any other. And so I'm going to start by looking at this passage from a different perspective than we sometimes read it, and then I'm going to talk about a church, a Presbyterian church in Black Mountain, North Carolina, that had a really interesting story around this. And then I'm going to bring it back to us and what that means here. Now, this story is one of the only stories in Jesus' ministry that's recounted in all four Gospels. His birth is not even encountered, is not even recounted in all four Gospels. The only, pretty much the only other time this happens is when Jesus is about to die in the last week of his life. But all four of our Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all agreed that it was this story that summarized Jesus' ministry better than most. Now, our theme for this week in our Sanctified Art Worship Series is that the good news is that together the impossible is possible. They emphasized that each person doing their part to make the world more fulfilled and more equitable is what will promote lasting change. But the disciples, of course, have to learn this the hard way. That's why some of the prominent biblical commentators of the day call them the disciples. Now, let's set the scene here. Jesus and his disciples have just learned that John the Baptist, who, if you remember, was Jesus' cousin who baptized Jesus and a lot of others, has just been brutally killed. He was beheaded. They are going to a deserted place on foot, probably to grieve together over the loss of their dear friend and Jesus' cousin. Of course, Jesus and his disciples can rarely get a moment alone. People find Jesus wherever he happens to be and often need something from him. But instead of shooing these people away as the disciples would like him to do, Jesus has great compassion for them. And not just this casual compassion like, oh, you poor thing. The Greek word for this type of compassion, which I won't try to pronounce because I looked at it and was like, no way, literally refers to a gut-level, visceral kind of compassion. Jesus doesn't feel for them from a distance. He feels with them physically. He understands what they're going through. This text says that he considers them sheep without a shepherd, people who aren't just lost in the desert, but lost without each other. And he teaches them. But all of a sudden, it's dinner time. And everybody is in the middle of a desert. So the disciples say, all right, show's over. You know, let's get these people to get on home and get something to eat. But then Jesus says, nah, you give them something to eat. Figure it out. The disciples probably are like most of us when they say, we can't afford to give these people something to eat. We go broke. But as Jesus so often does, he says, what do you have? And after their report, he says, sit them down. And so everybody sits on the grass. Then Jesus looks to heaven, he takes the bread and fish, he broke it, he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples and tells them to pass it around. Now, side note, that last sentence that you heard is often something that I say in communion every time that we share. He looks up to heaven, he takes the bread, he breaks it, he blesses it, and he gave it to his disciples. And that is kind of a foreshadowing of what's going to happen in the Last Supper. All four gospel writers also have that little detail in there as well. And so everybody sits and eats until they're full. Not just like enough to get to their house and eat a little bit more. They're actually full. What this story teaches us over and over again is that we don't have to believe in scarcity as a foregone conclusion. In fact, the famed theologian Walter Brueggemann calls scarcity a myth. He says, quote, our world absolutely requires this news. It has nothing to do with being Republicans or Democrats, liberals or conservatives, socialists or capitalists. The creation is infused with the Creator's generosity, and we can find practices and procedures and institutions that allow that generosity to work. Unquote. A Presbyterian church in Black Mountain, North Carolina, learned this in a very real way. Now, they had just spent years putting together a mission statement. After a long committee process, sound familiar? Someone pointed to the question that was carved in their communion table. Has everyone been fed? That was the question. A question as a mission statement. It felt incomplete on purpose because the work is never done. They formally adopted it in September of 2024. And 3 days later, Hurricane Helene devastated their mountain community. Roads were gone. Power was out. They didn't have running water. People were desperate and without a plan, without a committee meeting or a budget approval, the church simply opened its doors. Members emptied the freezer, fired up gas stoves, and started cooking. Within days, they were feeding nearly 1,000 people every day. Neighbors and strangers gathering around tables in a parking lot. The whole building converted into a food pantry. Over the following months, over $2 million in donations were carefully distributed to support long-term rebuilding. Now, the wider community didn't remember this church for its mission statement. They remembered the church that fed people. And to this day, every time communion is served at that church, the pastor asks the congregation, "Has everybody been fed?" And in unison, the congregation shouts back, "Not yet." A reminder for them that their work continues. Now, this church had this amazing, incredible opportunity to live out their faith and to defy the myth of scarcity and to understand the world instead as a place where everyone has something to offer, and together we can create the conditions where everybody has what they need. Now, I'm not sure if our church will ever be presented with this large of an opportunity, but I think what this church's story can teach us is that in this small town where many people live on meager salaries and limited resources by whatever means, we can actually do something to make our community more equitable, and we're already doing it, right? You know, we know how expensive meat is, those of us who buy and eat meat. We know what that means to provide something for people that we so often take for granted. And I was also reminded recently about a time when a woman named Amy, someone that nobody in this community had ever met, came to our church from the emergency room in search of a way to get back home. And we were able to provide enough for her to get a ride home with a taxi and also a good meal. We had no idea this was going to happen. It wasn't on our bingo card, but yet we pivoted and did what I believe this church does best. When there is a need, we are so good in this church at providing for that need. Whether the need is providing a taxi fare for a woman without any resources, to transportation for your pastor, to a vibrant and organized congregational care team, to a mission project, making crockpot meals. All of these examples can remind us that we too can dismiss the scarcity mindset that so many people in our world would like us to have. Despite the cynicism that our society keeps clinging to, it becomes true over and over again that a bunch of people doing seemingly small things can actually change the world. So, as we go into this week, I invite you to think about this. How can we create the conditions for these loaves and fishes moments to keep happening and to change the world around us, away from the isolation, away from the fear, away from the othering? Because, my friends, the only way that this world is going to change, the only way that we can continue to have hope in the world we live in, is in recognizing that God equips all of us in our own little ways to make sure that everybody has what they need. And we need only to remember to keep that mindset alive in our hearts. May it be so. Amen. Our next hymn is number 580. We are called to be God's people. Amen. You may be seated. Now we enter into a time of more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Let's begin in some silence. Amen. I have two prayer requests from Laura Reynolds. Her nephew Jackson is serving on a submarine out of Norfolk, Virginia, serving our country. And also her brother David is starting his third round of chemo treatment for a third recurrence of cancer. So for Jackson and David, God in your mercy. What other prayers do we have today? I'm not seeing anything here. Anything on Zoom?
Speaking of Laura, Paul had another procedure. It was successful, and he's expected to be released within a couple of days.
Okay. For Paul, as he continues to recover, and for Laura, for her patience, because Paul is a little stubborn, we know. for both of them, God in your mercy. Anything else today? Then let us be in prayer. God of grace and love, you remind us every day that the impossible is possible through you. You give us opportunities to share that radical truth with others. In small actions and in quiet grace, we ask you to help us continue doing that work for a world so in need of it. For anyone in our community who is dealing with food insecurity and poverty and housing insecurity and discrimination in any form, let us be a sign of hope. Let us be people saying there is another way. Help us be with all of those whose names have been listed for Jackson and David and Paul and Laura and anybody else who may need your presence in a special way. We pray all of this with gratitude for your son Jesus, what he did, what he does, and in the ways he teaches us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. If you'd like to make a gift this morning, you can do so by placing a gift in the offering plate as the ushers come around, or by giving online at uccwaupun.net. But however you do so, may you remember that the gift you give today can benefit not only this local church, but also the community supports that we provide elsewhere. Join me in the prayer of dedication. God of possibility, you have done so many things we thought could never be possible. Help us use these gifts to do the same. Help us surprise, delight, and liberate others with the good news you give to us. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 569, God of Grace and God of Glory. We'll be singing 1, 2, and 4. Thank you. friends, receive these words of benediction. As you leave this place, go out and be a miracle. There are so many ways that your small gifts can make this world a better place, a safer place, a more fulfilled place. From food offerings, mission projects, all sorts of ways that we can continue to share the love that God has given us and the hope that Christ provides for us. Go out with that good news and with the assurance of that hope. And now, may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
No.